afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Hello and welcome to episode 27. I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
What have you been up to?
A whole lot of fucking nothing.
Pretty much.
I mean, I've been kind of manic this last week, but
yeah,
I finally painted the wall in the living room.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
It does. I really like looking at it.
Yeah,
it's much better than half cut in
yeah
red wall.
And the hallway looks good too.
Hallway does look good, but you can hardly see it because it's so dark, so yeah. It's almost pointless, but whatever.
Anyways, our rambly ramblies.
What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking another Beatbox.
Yeah. Because
they're so damn good and very strong.
They are very good.
This is the blue raspberry. It's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm drinking some strawberry vodka from Sam's Club.
Yum.
With Aldi sparkling pink lemonade in a champagne glass.
Nice. Sounds good. We're going to go ahead and get into this. I'm too tired to ramble on, so.
Well, good for you.
All right, here are five fun facts about universities. And then I'll get into what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Five fun facts. Number one, MIT students can become fully qualified pirates. Any student at Massachusetts Institute of Technology who completes archery, fencing, sailing, and pistol or rifle classes can receive a pirate's license.
Oh my god.
It doesn't give you the right to commandeer a vessel, smuggle goods, or drink all the rum, though.
Damn it. But, like, you can drink rum if you want to.
Yeah. But that's pretty funny. You can actually
really cool.
Become a pirate.
That is really pirate. Cool. And I should have gone to MIT, except I wasn't smart enough, so whatever. But.
That's fine. Number two, the University of Chicago hosts the largest scavenger hunt in the world every year.
Oh.
Nobody's entirely sure why, but it's been a university tradition since 1987. As well as items that must be found, each year's list contains things that need to be built, performed, written, programmed, drawn, eaten, designed, painted, or solved.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Number three. Many universities have iconic and historic buildings. For instance, Oxford University's Bodleian Library has been used as a filming location for various Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. So,
it's pretty cool. Number four. Oberlin College was the first college to grant degrees to women in 1841.
Is that in the States or is that in the UK?
I'm not sure.
Huh.
I forgot to look that up. It was also the first college to give a bachelor's degree to an African-American woman in 1862.
Oh, wow. Must be the UK.
I'm not sure. Look it up. You got a phone.
What was it? Oberlin?
Yeah. Oberlin. And number five, the first intercollegiate football game took place on November 6th, 1869. Teams from Princeton and Rutgers met in New Brunswick, New York. Each team had 25 players. Rutgers won 6-4.
Wow. If this is the same one, Oberlin College is in fucking Ohio of all goddamn places.
Makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Ohio is, like, the most racist northern state in the Union.
It's fine. I know you hate Ohio.
I fucking hate Ohio.
Anyways. So, yeah. That's five fun facts.
Five about fun colleges. Facts.
Now let's get a degree by learning about the history of Springfield's Drury University.
Cool beans.
I'll talk about the history of Drury, and then I'll talk about the history of the buildings on campus.
Okay.
Here's some history according to Drury.edu. In 1873, a group of Congregationalist home missionaries founded Drury as a place for academic discourse and intellectual achievements in Southwest Missouri.
What? Congregational missionaries?
Congregationalist home missionaries.
As in evangelicals?
Yeah.
Founded a college?
Yeah.
That's way out of character.
Yep. They sought to create a strong liberal arts college modeled after those in the North, such as Oberlin, Carleton, Dartmouth, Yale, and Harvard.
My, how the turntables turn.
After much discussion, the founders chose Springfield over Neosho as the college's location.
Fascinating how the future could have been vastly different had they made a different decision.
I know. James and Charles Harwood of Springfield, the Reverend Nathan Morrison of Olivet, Michigan, and Samuel Drury of Otsego, Michigan, came together to organize and fund the college. Originally known as Springfield College, Samuel Drury's financial gift of $25,000, or $638,800 today, was the largest, and the college was renamed for his recently deceased son.
Aww.
Reverend Morrison was selected as the first president and rang the bell as classes began on September 25th, 1873. The early curriculum focused on education, religion, and music, and attracted students from a wide area, including western Oklahoma. In 1875, Drury celebrated its first graduating class consisting of 5 women.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome.
Oddly progressive.
Yeah. Drury started small with only one building and occupying less than 1.5 acres when classes began in 1873. Over the next 25 years, the campus expanded to 40 acres, which included Stone Chapel, the President's House, and 3 academic buildings.
Okay.
Today, the campus covers 90 acres, including the original site.
Damn, I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Now, here's some history of some buildings on the Drury campus, according to library.org. First is Stone Chapel. Congregational Church in Springfield and the Opera House were used as classrooms. But the first president, Nathan J. Morrison, envisioned a chapel that would serve the needs of both the college and the community. Stone Chapel, located at the intersection of Benton Avenue and Central Street, was built as a result of his idea. In 1876, Frederick Marquand of New York City donated $5,000, or about $143,000 today, to construction of the chapel. Although the chapel was originally intended to be built of brick, plans changed in 1881. Mrs. Valerie Stone offered a donation of $50,000, or around $1.5 million today, to the college, with $20,000, or around $600,000 today, of that earmarked for the chapel's construction. It was proposed that the chapel would be made of quarried limestone and named Stone Chapel, in honor of both the material used and the primary donor's last name. This made the chapel beautiful and long-lasting, and it became Springfield's first stone building because there were no other stone buildings in the area at the time. It still stands today as the city's oldest stone structure.
Wow.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
On November 16, 1880, Stone Chapel's cornerstone was laid. Work continued until the spring of 1882 when the funds ran out. after requiring an additional $4,400, or around $132,000 today, to finish the chapel, work was halted. On December 12, 1882, a fire broke out due to an improperly installed furnace. Since the city's waterworks were not yet operational, the fire destroyed the building.
Oh.
The college was advised to rebuild the chapel on the same site using the remaining stone walls. The chapel was completed and paid for by June 1892, 12 years after its initial construction began. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
In the early 1950s, the chapel's slate roof was replaced, and a steel spire replaced the original timber spire. In 1955, a new chancel was constructed. Much of the chapel's interior woodwork was replaced in the early 1950s. The chapel could originally accommodate between 1,000 and 1,500 people, but after the renovations, it can only hold 800. The ivy-clad Victorian Gothic structure is one of Springfield's most popular wedding venues.
Oh.
It was added to the Springfield Historic Sites record on October 1st, 1973, and has been on the National Register of Historic Places since 1982.
Wow.
And there's McCullough Cottage. In 1891, the board of Drury College suggested building a dormitory for girls, as they were currently being housed in Fairbanks Hall, which was inadequate for their needs. The plan was to turn Fairbanks into a men's dormitory. In 1893, E.A. Goodnow from donated $10,000, or $340,000 today, to Drury College for the construction of a girls' dormitory. The dormitory was required to cost no less than $16,000, or $543,500 today, and was to be named the Dolores McCullough Cottage in honor of Mr. Goodnow's pastor's wife. Mr. Goodnow's pastor's... Okay. Anyways. Apparently, Mr. Goodnow likes his pastor's wife, so I don't know.
Good now or good later?
Well, can have a good now and good later. The girls residing in Fairbanks Hall selected a location slightly north of it, but then changed their minds and chose a new location at the east of Fairbanks in April of 1893. Unfortunately, the construction was delayed for a year, and the site was changed again. McCullough Hall finally opened in September 1894, but it had no furniture. The lady
principal... How is it open if there's no furniture?
I don't know. I'm getting there.
The building's constructed. That's not open.
But the ladies are going to put some furniture in it, so
okay.
Calm down.
They're going to go to the flea market.
Flea market. You can find some good shit at the flea market.
Yeah, you can, but you couldn't then.
Yeah, that's true.
They didn't exist.
McCullough Hall finally opened September 1894, but it had no furniture. The lady principal appealed to women for funds to furnish the dormitory and made each room a memorial gift. Women from different groups, including faculty members, trustees' wives, church organizations, and individuals, responded, and most of the building was furnished and occupied by the day of its dedication on November 8th.
Wow.
An annex containing four pianos and practice rooms for music students was added to McCullough Cottage in 1898. McCullough Cottage served as the only girls' dormitory at Drury until 1924, when a new dormitory was built. It was utilized as a barracks during World War II and finally demolished in 1969.
Wow.
It's crazy. Pearson Hall. In 1892, Dr. D.K. Pearson proposed a donation of $25,000, or $840,000 today, to Drury College, with the condition that they raise $75,000, or around $2.5 million today. Drury accepted the offer but was not successful in raising the required amount until 1901. This donation marked the beginning of Drury's endowment fund. Dr. Edward M. Shepherd oversaw the construction of the new science hall, which was to be built with the funds raised. His museum and laboratories.
You did get out of my laboratory!
The laboratory. We're located on the second floor. Dr. Shepherd was involved in every aspect of Drury's scientific course of study, leading to a Bachelor of Science degree. He held various positions at Drury, including Dean of the College, Librarian, and Professor of Mineralogy and Geology. Yeah.
Mineralogy.
He also acted as the college's president in 1893 to 94. Dr. Shepherd had previously taught chemistry and biology as well. The newly constructed science hall featured the Edward M. Shepherd Museum. On January 30th, 1901, the groundbreaking ceremony took place at the construction site of Pearson Hall. The cornerstone was laid on June 13th, 1901. By February 25th, 1902, the building was completed and ready for use. Pearson Hall, along with Fairbanks Hall and Stone Chapel, was a significant addition to the Drury campus. Pearson Hall remains in use today as a classroom building.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. And Burnham Hall. In 1909, the construction of Classical Hall, later known as Burnham Hall, took place on the campus of Drury College. On January 21st, 1910, the Drury Band led a procession of students and faculty from Pearson Hall to Classical Hall for its dedication. After some speeches, classes resumed as normal. Burnham Hall was initially built to accommodate lecture rooms, classrooms, and administrative offices. I'm a little slurry, but not drunk. I'm just really fucking tired.
Yeah. You seem like you're really uptight, though, so...
I'm trying to calm down a little bit. I had...
Half of one.
And then most of this one.
Half and half.
I had half and half.
Oh, my God.
All right. What was I?
I don't know.
During World War II... The college made space for two fraternities and a sorority in Burnham Hall, namely Pi Beta Phi, Zeta Tau Alpha, and Delta Delta Delta.
Delta Delta Delta!
Phi Delta.
I'm a Delta new.
I'm a Delta guy. I don't know what that is.
You know Delta new?
No.
It's from Legally Blonde.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go to college, so I can't be in a sorority, so I'm not anything, but...
I went to a shitty college.
Well, yeah, and you got
that took advantage of people.
Yeah, you got your money back.
Yeah. All but
four... My college lied to me, but I still don't get my money back.
I know. Well, all but, like, $500. I owe, like, $500 on my student
loan. Out of 20,000?
Like, 15,000, 16,000,
yeah.
Pretty crazy. Anyways, the college bookstore moved from Burnham Hall to the basement of Fairbanks Dormitory in 1954. The following year, the offices of Burnham Hall were remodeled for $44,867, which would be around $458,700 today. Burnham Hall underwent renovation twice, once in 1975 and again in 1994, using a grant from the Mabee Foundation. Maybe.
That's Mabee Foundation.
M-A-B-E-E.
Maybe. Maybe you'll get your money.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe, baby.
Is that a Trump organization?
No, sounds like it. Presently, Burnham Hall is located between Pearson Hall and Stone Chapel, serving as the home of the departments of religion, philosophy, history, and political science at Drury University.
None of those... topics go with religion, though. Fine.
Well, maybe they're...
The study of spirituality, sure, but religion and dogma, no.
Well, it was a little bit liberal arts college. It's kind of like a little bit progressive for
Christians. I'm being
I know.
An asshole.
I'm just saying.
The only way I know how to be.
It's like the oldest college in town, so. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I think. I was just making a joke, that's all. You don't have to get all.
I'm not.
Defensive.
Calm down. Yeah, I guess you're not supposed to tell women to calm down because you might get in trouble. I've gotten in trouble a few times.
Just a few.
Yeah. Anyways. Clara Thompson Hall. I forgot how many halls there were.
Are you going to do all the halls?
No, just the more historical ones.
Okay.
We'll get to the hauntings, I promise.
Okay.
Clara Thompson Hall. In 1926, Clara Thompson Hall was built as a commemoration of Clara Louise Wallace Thompson by her foster parents, Washington Irving Wallace and Louise Grosbeck Wallace. Clara Wallace was an aspiring pianist who came from Lebanon, Missouri in 1888.
Hey, that's where our couch comes from.
Yeah. Not Lebanon.
Lebanon. It's like East Palestine, Ohio. People get pissy because you pronounce it Palestine, but it's pronounced Palestine in Ohio. You don't call it Palestine.
Yeah.
You call it Palestine, and people in Ohio look at you like you've got like 1,000 heads.
Yep.
Because brown people don't live in Ohio.
Yep. Anyway, she was an aspiring pianist who came from Lebanon, Missouri in 1888 to attend Drury Conservatory. Mr. Wallace was among the original members of the Drury Board of Trustees. Clara later married Edgar Thompson from Marshfield. Drury announced plans in 1923 to construct three new buildings, a library, later referred as Harwood Library, a ladies' dormitory, and a construction building. Nope. I'm like reading words that aren't even there. A ladies' dormitory and a construction built to house the Conservatory of Music.
Okay.
The Wallaces gave $160,000 or $2.8 million today.
God damn, these rich-ass people. Fucking hell, eat the rich.
Towards the building of the dormitory and the music building, and the buildings were named Wallace Hall and Clara Thompson Hall. A dedication service in June 1926 for the three new buildings was opened with the Drury Glee Club singing Drury's new hymn, Christo et Humanitate, which translates from Latin to English as Christ and Humanity. Pretty cool. I wish I could speak Latin.
I do not.
It'd be pretty cool.
I mean, it'd be cool, but I don't care.
So. I can barely speak Spanish, so I can barely speak English. Fuck it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, the new music building hosted Drury's 1926 commencement, according to Frank W. Klippinger in the Drury Story. Clara Thompson Hall of Music provided the music department at Drury College with an auditorium seated 600, an adequate stage, 16 allegedly soundproof practice rooms, and more studios than there were teachers.
Damn.
It was said to be the first venue in Springfield that was appropriate for concerts.
Hmm.
The Springfield Orchestral Society, later known as the Springfield Symphony Orchestra, performed its first concert in Clara Thompson Hall on February 26, 1935.
Cool. I know somebody who plays the Springfield Symphony.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Who?
She's a flautist.
Oh, yeah. Betsy. Yeah. We saw her
play. At the church when I didn't combust.
I know.
It was so cool.
Yeah, you didn't even smoke a little bit.
I didn't. No singe, nothing. I did smell a little sulfur, but, you know, that's to be expected.
It's probably the church. Anyways, Drury College served as the symphony's home for many years. The building still houses Drury University's music department, providing a classical performance space, and is the location of concerts, plays, lectures, and convocations. I don't know what the fuck that is, but it is.
You want me to Google what convocation means?
Convocations. Maybe a vacation with conversations.
No.
Conversation vacation. Vacation with conversation. I don't know.
Convocation, a large formal assembly of people. The action of calling people together for a large formal assembly.
Anyways, Clara Thompson Hall is part of the Midtown Historic Historic District and is on the National Register of Historic Places.
Cool beans.
The inventory for that nomination describes the building as follows. Clara Thompson Hall of Music, a three-story collegiate Gothic building constructed in 1925. The six-bay building was constructed in a modified T-plan and has a concrete foundation and multicolored brick exterior. The building has a flat roof and stone quoins. Quoins?
What?
Q-U-O-I-N-S. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Q-U-O-I-N-S.
These are words that...
Coin.
Coin.
Yeah, coins.
An external angle of a wall or building. A wedge or expanding mechanical device used for locking a letter. Nope, definitely not that one.
Anyway.
So a corner.
A corner, yeah. The main entrances have original frames and glass double doors set within a Tudor arched vestibule. On the central bay, the windows of the second and third stories have single light Tudor arch transoms.
I googled pictures of it with the bricks that...
Basically overlaid bricks, yeah.
Yeah,
corner okay. bricks. At the roofline is a stepped parapet, and in the gable field of the main facade is a concrete panel inscribed Christo et Humanitati with a lamp book design similar to the old library building.
Lamp book? Is that what you said? Are those the words you said?
This is the direct quote from the Historic Society.
They
just put words in there, you know?
Did the AI bot?
No, this is word for word this time. I promise this time.
Okay.
Yeah, the AI just put words together. Lamp, book, shade, library, building. on the north and south are two-bay buildings designed to mimic the original building. These were built in 1979. Right? End quote of that long-ass quote for Historic Society.
Okay, then.
The O'Bannon Music Center and Liddy Art Center are the two bay buildings, along with
the musical buildings in this college,
which is pretty cool. I mean, it's...
I'm not... No, it's just... It's an interesting observation.
It's a liberal arts school, so I kind of get it.
Yes, yeah. I get it. It's just that a liberal arts school founded by evangelical missionaries is just such a contradiction nowadays.
Well, back then they weren't as bad as they are now. Well,
oh no, they were.
Yeah,
they were.
They were. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Along with Clara Thompson Hall, they make up the Mabe Performing Arts Center at Drew University, and that's M-A-B-E, not M-A-Y-B-E.
Yeah. Does it have anything to do with the Mabe? Donation thing?
I think so. Because it's a...
organization.
It's an organization.
Brain broken.
Anyways. On January 1st, 2000, Drury College became Drury University to reflect its increasing role in higher education. In addition to the original academic programs, Drury students now study at the Breach School of Business Administration, the Hammond School of Architecture, and the Shoemaker Communication Center. The majors and minors offered have evolved to reflect society's changing needs. Drury was an early adopter of continuing education and evening classes for non-traditional students. Today, Drury Go serves almost 3,000 students in Springfield and the surrounding region. Really? I'm going to guess that's an online course thing.
Cool beans. If I ever want to go back to college.
Yeah.
If I ever want to go back to college, shoot me in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. No more student loans. Fuck that. It's a racket.
It would be nice to have a little bit better understanding of business, though.
Yeah. I mean, there are some better online learning than...
It's all a scam.
It is.
Higher education is a scam.
Pretty much. Anyways, despite changes and growth over the years, Drury's commitment to preparing students for the modern world remains unchanged. A Drury education places importance on diversity, community service, and quality academics. Academics. Yeah. Macadamia's good.
I love macadamia. White chocolate macadamia cookies are the fucking best, man.
Yeah.
You ever want to, like, show me you love me? Bring me a white chocolate macadamia cookie.
Okay, I'll do that.
From Subway or McDonald's, honestly.
Okay, little last bit of history here. Here's some history about the two cannons that are on campus. Pew, pew. Pew, pew. Pew, pew. There are two cannons located in front of Pearson and Burnham Halls, which are field pieces from the Civil War. According to legend, the governor of Missouri distributed several similar cannons to different counties for patriotic display in 1885 or 1886, because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Anyways, the two cannons allocated...
Oh, it could have taken place over those 2 years.
Probably. Anyways, the two cannons allocated to Greene County were moved around for some time before they were eventually placed at Drury as a neutral location.
Huh.
After the cannons were relocated to the college campus, one of them went missing. Huh. The remaining cannon stayed in front of Pearson Hall and was utilized in parades and patriotic celebrations, but it sometimes went off on campus.
Went off?
Probably by students. I don't know.
How do you make a cannon just go off?
I mean, they were live cannons. Put shit in it and just boom.
But you need, like, fuses and shit. Like, you have to... There's stuff that's required. Like, if we were to go to Wilson's Creek Battlefield right now, you can't just shoot off a cannon willy-nilly.
Well, you probably could, but...
No, you can't!
Anyways, in 1905, boys from Springfield High School borrowed the cannon for a celebration, and Drury's business manager allowed them to keep it. Because why the fuck not?
Smart business management. Right there.
However, Drury students took it upon themselves to retrieve the cannon and return it to its original location. Good for them. As a result, the cannon was placed on a solid stone pedestal. So nobody else can take it. Because it's mine, not yours.
My guns!
In 1913, the cannon that had been missing for approximately 20 years was discovered. The workers at their Frisco shops had been using it for their own patriotic celebrations.
The railroad Frisco?
I think so. Whatever the Frisco shops in town are. I don't know. It's what the article
says. Right now,
says.
Burlington, Northern Santa Fe. There's a Frisco railroad, yeah. Right?
Yes, there is. There must be some shops named for the Frisco Railroad.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know.
Anyways, following negotiations between Drury students and the Frisco supply keeper, the cannon was returned to its original location in front of Burnham Hall, where it was also mounted on a stone pedestal. The two cannons remain on display in front of Drury's two halls, serving as faithful guards atop their pedestals.
It's an office building named for the Frisco Railroad.
Yes.
On East Chestnut Expressway.
Yes! I used to deliver mail there. Yeah. What, that was my second regular route when I was at Griesmer.
Don't remember. I mean, I remember when you were at Griesmer, but yeah. I don't remember that.
That was on my route. Anyways, yeah, oh. I know exactly where that is.
Okie dokie.
Right behind there is the... anyways, I forgot what was behind there. Anyways.
Is that over by where Costco and Menards are, or is it?
It's. West of that. It's just west of 65.
So is Costco and Menards.
No.
No?
No.
No?
Those are east of 65.
Are they?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh.
Anyways.
Okay. Oh.
Anyways. And now for the hauntings.
Fucking finally. No, I'm just kidding.
Calm down.
Can I go make another drink real quick?
Yes. We'll pause it.
Ashes, ashes, we are from those.
Anyways, now for the hauntings. Drew University is a place where ghost stories come to life. The campus is home to a variety of haunted locations, each with its own chilling tale. One such place is Claire Thompson Hall, where a mysterious ghost roams the halls, causing pianos to play on their own and doors to shut without warning. No one knows who this spirit is or why it lingers in the shadows, but its presence is undeniable. Most think it's actually Claire Thompson herself.
Huh.
I don't even know. I don't think they know.
Do they? Is there like evidence that would suggest that? Or is it just because it's named for a woman named Claire Thompson and they're
people
like,
it's Claire Thompson. Yeah. That's the ghost of Claire Thompson.
People just think that.
Yeah, okay.
It's probably a student that died there or something.
Or any number of any other things.
I don't know. Anyways.
Missouri's on stolen land. I mean, the country's on stolen land.
Yeah. Another haunted location on campus is Smith Hall, a former Victorian home that now houses students. Legend has it that a young girl once lived in one of the homes. The home had caught fire. She refused to leave the burning house without her teddy bear and tragically died in the fire.
That's when an adult does the fucking adult thing. Pick that little girl up by her pigtails if you have to and drag her ass out of the building. Yeah. You don't let her throw a temper tantrum until she dies.
Yeah,
where are the grown-ups?
I have no idea. To this day, girls who live in Smith Hall report strange occurrences in their rooms, including open doors, misplaced items, and the sudden appearance of a teddy bear. If the women have teddy bears of their own, they seem to be misplaced or disappear and then later appear in different locations in the room.
So teddy bears just randomly fucking pop up out of goddamn nowhere?
Yep.
That's creepy.
Some claim to have seen the ghost of the little girl wandering the halls at night. But perhaps the most haunted location at Drew University is Will Hoyt Theater. Theater?
Theater?
Theater. Anyways. Strange lights flicker on and off at night, and some say they've encountered a ghost who calls himself... Guess.
A ghost that calls himself... Jim Bob?
Bob. calls himself
Bob. No fucking way, man! Yep.
As the story goes, the theater is dedicated to a man named Bob Wilhoit.
Oh.
But no one knows for sure if this is the same Bob who haunts the venue. Regardless, his presence is felt by all who enter the theater at dark. These ghost stories are just a few of the many that lurk in the shadows of Drew University. Whether you believe in the supernatural or not, there's no denying the eerie atmosphere that permeates the campus after dark.
Yeah.
Here's someone's personal experience from Reddit.
Oh, fun!
They write, Claire Thompson Hall at Drew University is pretty freaking strange. It's the music hall for the campus. I'm a pretty skeptical guy, but there's some shenanigans that went on there I couldn't explain. That's pretty funny that he used shenanigans.
I love the word shenanigans. Yeah.
The original building was built in the 1920s. I would often go in after hours and practice on the stage late at night. One was pretty sweet because I would just practice my instrument on stage and there was no one else around to care.
That you knew of.
Now, the only way into the building at those hours is to scan in from one of the sides, and you need special access to do it. So not just any student can get in.
You have to be special.
Occasionally, someone would walk through, but you could always tell because Fuck me. Occasionally, someone would walk through, but you could always tell because some people walk with intent. They have some place to be. Every night when I went to practice, I would do a walkthrough of the building to take a mental note of who all was there, usually in the practice rooms lined along the sides of the hall.
So there would be other humans in the building at the time, is what they're saying.
Practicing and stuff.
Okay.
On the numerous occasions, about 20 minutes after I had done my scan, I would hear a door slam shut somewhere near the classroom part of the building, a section of the building where all the doors are locked. It would then be followed by the very faint sound of footsteps, just wandering, no clear intent. That always put an end to my practice sessions every time.
If there's other people in the building, though, and you already know that there's other people in the building.
I think that those are times when he's alone.
Oh, my guess is, yeah.
And it wasn't just me. On a couple of occasions, I actually had friends there who heard the same thing. We even went to investigate if the doors were unlocked quickly after hearing it. But every door was locked. I've also talked to a security guard who would regularly shut all the lights off in the building at midnight, who talked about some of the weird stuff he's heard happen, including hearing the sound of a piano playing in a practice room, but would stop once he approached, only to find no one there. I still have no idea what that door slamming was about, and if the footsteps were just background noise we attributed to footsteps or what, though. If you walked the halls of Drury University at night, would it make you afraid-ish?
If I was alone in an empty building at night, like, that doesn't matter what the building is.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
You know?
I think any historic place or basically any dark place.
Not even historic. Yeah, it's just not even historic. Like, there's... Yeah. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the hauntings of Drury University.
Cool beans.
Pretty interesting history. So.
Very unexpected.
Yeah, no, I was surprised when I searched that. So.
Yeah.
And for.
It's just weird. Evangelicals being interested in education is just such a foreign concept to me.
I don't know. They weren't.
Non-religious education.
They weren't evangelicals. They were.
Congregationalist.
Congregationalist. I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know what that is.
So.
What is a congregationalist? So it's a church. Congregational churches are Protestant churches in the Reformed tradition practicing a congregationalist church governance in which the congregation independently and autonomously runs its own affairs. So fucking Baptists are congregationalists then, because that's their shtick is, we answer to nobody. We are independent and fundamentalists. Every Baptist pastor I've ever had was like that, so don't look at me like that.
Anyways. I think next week's stories or next week's place is going to be more interesting than this.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
Yeah? I don't know what it is, so.
I'm glad because it's unexpected.
I know it's not in Springfield.
Nope. It's a very.
Is it in Republic?
No.
Is it in Willard?
Stop. No. It's a very interesting town. I've never been there. I want to go there. And I'll just say it's a lot like Eureka Springs. And we're not going to guess. So, anyways, let's finish up.
Is it Eureka, Missouri?
No.
No.
Anyways, I hope everybody enjoyed this. I know it was a lot of blah, blah, blah history and shit.
That was a really history heavy.
I mean, it was like one of the first colleges in Springfield.
Yeah.
I think the history is very interesting.
Yeah.
So. So I hope everybody will like next week's because it's going to be history heavy.
Okay.
Because I have the history of the town plus the history of the location.
Okay.
and then some hauntings.
Okay. So
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah, from what I read, yeah.
Is it Branson?
So, no. Stop. No.
Galena? Anyways,
no. Stop. It's not in Southwest Missouri. Anyways. She's thinking about it. Nope. If you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email us at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at afraidishpodcast. The website is still down because, you know, I want to get a website. I want to get a merch shop and all that good shit.
Yeah.
Because I think the new logo would look nice on some shirts and
yeah,
some other stuff. Be pretty cool. Email me if you want any merch or have suggestions for merch stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All the links will be in the show notes.
I want to get an organic cotton beanie.
Okay. I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have this on YouTube as audio, but not video yet. We're getting so close. We're in talks and hopefully going to get some investigations going on.
Yeah.
Paranormal investigations. So you can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and almost anywhere
you
listen to. Did
you just say Google Podcasts?
Google.
I know you meant Google, but you didn't say Google.
Anyways. Also rate and review on Apple Podcasts and rate on Spotify. 5 stars, please. Now you can support this show with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. And the links for that will be in the show notes.
Okay.
Until I can get Patreon going. This will help updating recording equipment and other necessities for the podcast. And also possibly funding equipment for paranormal investigations.
And or paranormal investigations, because some of these locations ain't fucking cheap, man.
I know, yeah. You have to pay to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Pay to play the paranormal game.
Capitalism ruins everything.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, the link for that donation will be in the show notes.
Only donate if you can.
Only if you can, only and if you want to, you know, it helps us out.
No pressure.
No pressure. Anything else?
I cannot think of anything.
Okay. Until next time, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Maybe a vacation with conversations.
No.
Conversation vacation. Vacation with conversation. I don't know.